Baruchim Haboyim, welcome back to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha Vayetze. Wonderful to have so many people, Anoshim Chashuvim, Anoshim Tzidkaniyas in the Heichal. We welcome you in person for those who are listening on the phone live and for those who will hear the recording when it's sent out. Baruchim Haboyim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha Vayetze. We hope that not only do you gain chidushim and insights into the Parsha, but we always stress how we hope that it enhances our Shabbos Kodesh. On Shabbos, share the Divrei Torah with somebody at your Suda, when you're speaking to somebody. Let there be a Zikui HaRabim where you spread the Dvar Hashem on the Parsha to bring about greater Kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh. The Shir is sponsored each week. L'Zecher Nishmas U'Le'ile Nishmas Rebecca, Bas Serena, and Leon Ben Rachel. May the neshamos tahiras be zeicha to have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. Tonight's shiur is also being sponsored by Isaac and Shoshana Yaroslavich. We're very grateful you're here in the Heichal, Be'ezus Hashem, to enjoy and grow from the shiur. We're very grateful to you for your sponsorship. It's being sponsored by Isaac and Shoshana Yaroslavich to commemorate the yahrzeit of Shoshana's father, Reb Yosef Yehuda Ben Rebbe Eliezer Lipa HaKayin. Be'ezus Hashem, your father's neshama tahira, zohobin alichtige lichtige gan eden. Again, I ask the Olam to keep in mind the name that the shir is being said, lezecher nishmas uleila nishmas, Rebbe Yosef Yehuda ben Rebbe Eliezer Lipa HaKayin. The truth is, if a person takes a look in Parshas Vayetze, we could probably spend a year, not just one short shir on the Parsha. Beginning, middle, end, everywhere there's a tremendous amount to cover. It happens to be that the few thoughts that I've chosen for tonight all focus on the very beginning of the Parsha, and hopefully we'll get chizuk from these different ideas. In the opening pasuk, the pasuk says, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shav, if you're looking at the first pasuk, that Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Shav and he went to Choron. Of course, there's the very famous Rashi on the word Vayetze. Why does the Pasuk tell us that he left? Why doesn't the Pasuk simply say, Vayelech, where he went to? This is perhaps one of the most famous Rashis in the Torah. Rashi tells us the reason that the Yetziyah is also mentioned is to teach us, She Yetziyah Tzadik Min Hamakom Osaroisham, when a Tzadik leaves an area, it makes a very indelible impression. There's a tremendous void. When the tzaddik leaves, when the tzaddik is in the city, he is the hoid, the ziva, the hadara. When he leaves from the city, that beauty and that glory leaves as well. I believe that's a very well-known Rashi. A few months ago, I heard an extraordinary question and an answer, and I think there's a great deal for us to learn from it. We've said this Rashi many, many times. But did you ever ask yourself, why does Rashi only teach us this lesson by Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu is not the first one of Parshas Vayetze to leave from one place and go to another. We find it a number of times, most notably by his grandfather, Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was in one location. He had a Yetziyah, and he had a Vayelech. So why doesn't Rashi teach us this lesson over there by, let us say, Yaakov's grandfather, Avram Avinu? Why specifically here? A Mayurdik Akasha. I heard a beautiful answer in the name of Reb Yehuda Kelemer, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. As I heard, Reb Yehuda Kelemer explains that we know Avram Avinu was the pillar of Chesed, the quintessence and the paradigm of Chesed. So he suggested perhaps the reason that Rashi didn't teach us this lesson by Avram Avinu is it would be self-understood. Imagine you live in a city where there is the most extraordinary Baal Chesed who supplies a Suda Friday night to hundreds who don't have, who always makes sure that the hundreds of family that need food have. This is the quintessential paradigm of Chesed in your community. If that person were to leave your community and to go to another community, it would be readily understood, quite self-apparent, that when that person, the pillar of Chesed, leaves, of course there's going to be a void. Of course we realize that it's going to make an indelible impression and much of the glory and much of the honor. That's something that's perhaps not replaceable. That void is self-understood because the next week, that person won't be there to provide hundreds with a Friday night meal or hundreds of the packets for Shabbos or Yom Tov. So perhaps Rashi didn't teach it to us by Avraham Avinu because it's really self-understood. When someone who's the pillar of Chesed leaves, we understand that together with him there is that extraordinary and tremendous void. But perhaps Rashi is teaching us that when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, you might not think that way. Erroneously, you'd be making a mistake. But perhaps you might think that by Yaakov Avinu, you wouldn't know that lesson. After all, it says by Yaakov Avinu, Ishtam Yeshev Ahalim, meaning that he learned by himself, he remained in his ayah, and that's where he spent his time learning Torah. That person, imagine that we apply it to us. The person who may not be as world-renowned as the Baal Chesed, the person who may remain to themselves, that person, of course we're speaking about ourselves, might think that maybe they don't make such an extraordinary difference. Maybe that if they moved on to another city, I don't know, do they think that they are perhaps going to create a tremendous void? That person who's remaining to himself, who is sitting and learning, who is on his own, so to speak, might not think that they are the glory and the glamour and the honor. So therefore, specifically by Yaakov Avinu, about whom it says, Ish Yeshev Aholim, Ish Tam Yeshev Aholim, he was by himself and he sat and he learned. Here's where Rashi specifically tells us, don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. All of us have to realize we count. All of us have to realize we make an extraordinary and tremendous and colossal difference. And don't think differently. That would not only be a tremendous mistake, but it would be a regretful mistake if a person thought, well, yes, it's true about the Baal Chesed when he or she leaves the city, but it's equally true for every individual. Each and every individual contributes in their own inimitable style, in whatever way it might be, profoundly to a family, to a kehillah, to a community. And I hope you're hearing these words carefully, because sometimes a person could think, well, he can't be referring to me. I don't come from the yichus, and I don't come from the money, and I don't come from this social circle, and I don't have this prestige or these dynamics. It's precisely to you that Rashi is addressing now, when you might have thought, can one person on their own perhaps make such a difference? That's why Rashi tells us specifically by Yaakov Avinu that you should realize when a person leaves a city, they are the beauty and the glamour and the honor. And it should give us a great deal of chizuk, because every one of us contribute, as I said a moment ago, in our own inimitable style. Some of us realize it more and more often, and some of us don't realize it as often. And that's the beauty of what Rashi is telling us over here. Everybody counts. Everybody makes a difference. Please don't forget that. Each and every person has the ability to contribute in such a profound way that really has the ability to change the trajectory of their family, of their kehillah, of their shul, and of their family. And perhaps that's the way we begin the parsha, and we associate in Golus as the children of Yaakov Avinu. Perhaps to teach us precisely this lesson, you matter and you count, and everyone could make a difference. A little bit later on in the parsha, the pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu wakes up from the chalom, take a look at pasuk tes zayin. Yaakov Avinu wakes up, chav ches tav zayin, vayyomer, and he says, Ochein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yedati. Hashem is surely present in this place, but I did not know. A few weeks ago, I sent over a myridik pshat from the Chassam Sofer, Zechusa Yagun Aleinu. It's such a beautiful, scintillating pshat from the Heilige Chassam Sofer. I hope you enjoy it and appreciate. Join along with this pshat. Yaakov Avinu makes the comment, Ochein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yedati. Of course, there are many pshatim that refer to the extreme humility, the incredible anivus of Yaakov Avinu, and says the Chassam Sofer, this would be a prime example. You see, Yaakov Avinu is having a dream. In the Kisei HaKavod, the heavenly chair in Shemayim, there are four images on the four corners. There is the image of an ari, a lion. There is an image of a kiruv, one of the angels, like the kiruvim. There is the image of a nesher, an eagle. And the fourth image was of Yaakov Avinu himself. Yaakov Avinu understood in his humility that, yes, three of the images I knew about. I knew that there was an ari, a lion, a kruv, an image of one of the kruvim, a nesher, an eagle, but that there was an image of me that I wasn't aware of. Says the Heilige Chassam Sofer, look at the pasuk. Yaakov Avinu wakes up from the dream and he says, Ochein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. How do you spell the word Ochein? Aleph Chof Nun. Aleph Chof Nun is Rosh Hashanah and stands for the three images he was aware of. The Ari, the Kruv, and the Nesher. But the one he wasn't aware of, then he makes a comment, the Anoichi lo yadati. How do you spell the word Anoichi? Anoichi are the exact same letters as the word Achein, except it has an added Yud, and the Yud stands for Yaakov Avinu. Achein, that there were the three images of the Ari, and the Kruv, and the Nesher that I was aware of. But va'anoichi, with the added yud, that the fourth image was of Yaakov, of me, myself? Lo yadati, that I wasn't aware of. That, says the Chassam Sofer, shows us the extraordinary humility of Yaakov Avinu, that he didn't realize that the fourth image would be of him himself. And I'd like, as I did a few weeks ago, to tie this concept in. We spoke a moment ago about Avram Avinu. Let's talk for a moment about Avram and Sarah. The beauty of the pshat that I just mentioned from the Heilige Chassam Sofer, Zechusa Yagun Aleinu, is a person is to live for others. But that they were on the image of the Kisei HaKavod, lo yadati. It's not about me. When you speak to another person, it should be about them, not about you. I remember once hearing a pshat, I believe it's from Rav Gifter, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, that a pupil is called, the pupil of the eye is called an ishoin, aleph yud shin vav nun. The vav and the nun at the end of a Hebrew word means that item, but in a smaller size. Ish is a person, vav nun means smaller, because the truth is, that when you look at somebody and you look into their pupil, the pupil of their eyes, really if you stare into their pupil, you see an image of yourself, but a very much smaller image of yourself. Hence the pupil of the eye is called Ishoin, Ish Vav Nun, because you see yourself, but in a much smaller, reduced image. But that's really the way it should be when you speak to somebody. It's not about you. It should be about them. It should be about what you could do for them. It's not about you. Memela, not only literally, but figuratively, Ishain, the Vav and the Nun, represents a smaller image of yourself. When you speak to somebody, put yourself towards the back. Let it be about you. I remember a number of years ago hearing a Maisa. This is the way I heard it. It's an extraordinary Maisa. The way it was told over to me was that a number of years ago, and you perhaps recall, I said this in the Shabbos Drasha, just a few weeks ago. Someone, a professor from a university, wanted a chance. He heard so much about Agadol Adar, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, Zoleh Gesund and Stark Zayin. He wanted an opportunity to meet the Agadol Adar. I don't know more specifics, but as I heard the story and it was told to me, the professor of this university spent perhaps 45 minutes up to an hour meeting with Reb Shmuel, and when he came out, somebody had asked him, tell me, what are your impressions from the experience of almost an hour? They asked the professor of this prestigious university, and he said, while there are many, the thing that impressed me the most was that I spoke to this great rabbi for almost an hour, and not once did he use the word I. Now, Rabbi Isai, I'm not saying to try this in the middle of the shir. I want you to pay attention. But try in your own time to have a conversation with somebody for more than a minute and not use the word I multiple times. What impressed him the most was the extraordinary fact that he spoke to the Gadol Hador for almost an hour, and not once did he hear Reb Shmuel use the word I. It's not about me. V'anoichi lo yadati. That's mamish the pshat, and that's mamish the maisa. It's about others. So you recall in the drasha a few weeks ago, we tied it into Avram and Sarah very beautifully. We read a few weeks ago in the parasha, it says, V'ashem berech es Avram bakol. The Ribbono Shel Olam blessed Avram Avinu bakol. There are many interpretations of the word bakol. Either a daughter by the name bakol, or bakol is begematria 52, a ben, a son. One pshat I heard so beautifully is, what was the bracha Hashem gave Avram? V'ashem berech es Avram. The bracha that Hashem gave Avram was bakol, that everyone else simultaneously got a bracha. In order for Avram Avinu's bracha to be complete, bakol, it had to be that everyone else also had a bracha. Do we feel complete if we have something but somebody else doesn't? Can we truly enjoy and appreciate something if somebody else is lacking? V'Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol, the bracha that Hashem gave Avram was Bakol, that simultaneously everyone else got a bracha. That was the truest blessing for Avram Avinu. I wanted to say, you could say a similar pshat by Sarah Imenu. We know the Medrash tells us that on the day Sarah became expecting a child, on that day, all of the other women that had not had children, had not yet been blessed with a child, on that day as well, each one became expecting, on that same day as Sarah Imenu. I believe I heard in the name of Rav Pam, the great Rosh Hashiva Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha, says, why? Why did you need that miracle to happen? And Rav Pam explains, in order for Sarah's joy to be complete, in order for her own personal simcha to be complete, everyone else needed to have the same bracha. Her own personal simcha would be incomplete if somebody else was lacking. Memela zok the medrash that on the day she became expecting a child, every other woman that had not yet been blessed with children also became expecting a child in order that the simcha, personal joy of Sarah Imenu should be complete. Is that not mamish what we just said by Avram Avinu? It is that way by Avram. It is that way by Sarah. It's that way by Yaakov Avinu. It's that way by our Gedolim. What makes a person truly happy, completes their own personal joy, it's not about me. It's about you. The biggest bracha that I could be given is bakol. The biggest bracha that I could be given, this is of course the way we should all feel and have to strive for, is that everyone else shares in that bracha as well. Take a look a little bit later on in the parsha. When you see that Yaakov Avinu is approaching those by the well, the pasuk tells us, take a look at Psukim Dalet Hey Vav and Zayin Chof Tes. Dalet Hey Vav and Zayin. It seems to be an interesting dialogue. Are you looking inside? Am I missing something? We actually said this pshat a few years ago, and I think as true as it was a few years ago, forgive me for saying it, it's even far, far more true today. I look inside, Chof Tes, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin. Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Lehem Yaakov, Yaakov said to them, meaning he's speaking to these shepherds, to these people that are by the well. He wants to know, where are you from? Vayomru, and they answer, we are from Charan. If you're looking inside, I just read Pasuk Dal. Look at Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Lehem, he now says to them in Pasuk Hey, do you know Lavan? Vayomru, and they answer, Yadanu, yes, we know him. Next Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Lehem, Hashalom Lo, they ask, is everything well with him? Vayomru, and they answer, Shalom. Did anybody notice something extraordinary in this dialogue? I just went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth at least three times. Did you notice something that, I don't know if I should say, seems to be symmetric or not symmetric, but extraordinary? Every time Yaakov Avinu speaks to them, it says the word Lahem. Vayomer Lahem. Next Pasuk. Vayomer Lahem. Next Pasuk. Vayomer Lahem. Every single time they responded, it does not say, obviously to Yaakov would be the word loy, it does not say it once. Vayomru, they said. Vayomru, they said. Vayomru, they said. Three times back and forth. Why is it by Yaakov Avinu, every time he addressed them and says, Vayomer Lahem, 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 to them, if it was symmetric, then when they responded to him, it should say Vayomru loy. Not once does it say that. Why not? Doesn't seem to be properly balanced, does it? I don't recall who in whose name I heard the pshat, but I think as true as it was when I heard it, it's far more true today. This dialogue is teaching us the way a conversation must be vis-a-vis the way it could never be. Yaakov Avinu is speaking to them, and they know it. Because the Torah says that every time he spoke to them, Vayomer Lohem. Lohem for us would mean you look at the person. You look at them, you give them the time, the recognition, acknowledgement, validation. Look at the person you're speaking to. Vayomer Lohem. Vayomer Lohem. Vayomer Lohem. They understood he is speaking to me and giving me his full attention. But unfortunately, their response perhaps was the incorrect way. Did you ever see when a person responds to you and it's supposed to be that they're having a conversation with you, they're looking everywhere else but at you? Or dare I say they're busy on their phone texting or responding or looking at whatever? That sounds pretty common, doesn't it? Mamela, when they responded, were being taught the way that they responded was not the correct way. The way they responded was Vayomru, which means they said, but not once does it say the word loy to him. You could think back to the last time we had such a conversation. I bet it happened even today. Hopefully you were on the other end, not the first. Well, you know what I mean. You're speaking to a person. The person you want them to look at you, to respond, that other person would not want me to be busy with my phone and looking up something or on the computer or with another text or responding to an email or an app or whatever all the appropriate or whatever all the words are. Mamela, when they responded, it was Vayomru, but there was no loy, there was no contact. There was no recognition or validation or acknowledgement. There was using the time for everything else other than to make the person feel like, oh, I have your complete and undivided attention. You're actually responding to me? We should think to the types of conversations we have. We may not be able to dictate or control other people, but us, towards our spouse, our child, our parent, our neighbor, our relative, our coworker, the unaffiliated yid, think about those eight categories we just mentioned, that ask yourself, when you speak to that person, are you from the Vayomer Lahem or from the Vayomeru? Because that person, be it your spouse or your child or your parent or your friend, your relative, your neighbor, your coworker, the person in shul, the unaffiliated yid, believe me, they want your complete and undivided attention. They're not interested in thinking that they are vying for your time and 16 other emails and texts and everything else in the world. So I don't know if we can control another person, but if from tonight's shir we're zeicha to join the group of the Vayomer Lahem and not the Vayomeru, it will have been more than worth it. And by the way, dare I say, the more we become a person in our conversations and in our relationships of Vayomer Lahem, Kimayim Ponim Laponim, eventually the person that we're speaking to, Be'ezras Hashem, the other side, the reciprocity, will also be towards us of Vayomer Lahem, if that's what they receive indeed from us, and they sense it and they feel it. And finally, I believe this pshat is from the Ponim Vizharov, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. It's mamish one of my favorite pshatim. It's such a beautiful, beautiful pshat. I feel badly it's in Pasuk Dalet, but I deliberately glossed over it because I wanted it to be the final pshat of the night. Pasuk Dalet Vayomer Lehem Yaakov. Now, what was it that he essentially wanted from them? After he asked them, do you know Lavan? Is he well? Then in Pasuk Zion, can we take a look in Zion what he said to them? Vayomer Yaakov says to them, I just want to point out, in case somebody at this point in the Heichel, on the phone, or listening to the recording wants to jump and ask, oh, you see this time that when Yaakov is speaking to them, it says Vayomer, it doesn't say Vayomer Lahem. The earlier three times we just drilled in, Vayomer Lahem, Vayomer Lahem, Vayomer Lahem. Here it says Vayomer, it doesn't say Lahem. I'm sure you want to jump up and ask that question. And if you didn't, you should. I think perhaps, I just thought of it now, perhaps the answer is, because now he's about to give them, I think the pshat we're about to say is actually emes. He's about to give them a little bit of musr. He's about to rebuke them, and he says, "Hein oid hayom gadol. The day is still quite long. Why are you clocking out? Why are you signing out? Why are you leaving work early? It's not yet time to bring the livestock in." In other words, he has to give them some musr and some rebuke, like a boss who would tell someone who works for him, you're leaving early. So maybe Dafka this time, it doesn't say Vayomer Lahem, because maybe the Lahem would be too much into the person, too much making the person feel like they're being perhaps under attack or being addressed. Perhaps, therefore, even the Vayomer Lahem, Vayomer Lahem, Vayomer Lahem comes with the Chochmah, but now I have to give musr. Now I have to give rebuke. That should be done in a fashion of Vayomer, which denotes a little bit softer, where you don't make the person feel like you're staring directly at them and they're under inspection and they're under the microscope and they're being given the musr. Perhaps the Vayomer and not the Vayomer Lahem denotes that you're giving the musr, but in a little bit of a softer way in order for it to be accepted. I know I owe you the pshat from the Ponev Vizharov, but since we just mentioned that chiddush, and I believe it's emes. Maybe that's why it doesn't say lahem, because it's musr, and the musr was given a little bit softer. That's the way it has a better chance of being accepted. Don't we know our chachamim tell us, Divrei Chachomim Benachas Nishmaim. If you want something to be heard and accepted, say it Benachas. I know I owe you the pshat from the Ponev Vizharov, but if you could just give me one moment, How could I not interject? I know the mice I'm about to say we have said literally countless times, but I think it applies so well to the chiddush we just said. Why by the Musar it doesn't say Vayomer Lehem, but there it's a bit softer to say Vayomer, so the person doesn't feel the directly being attacked, so to speak. How could we not say over one of the greatest and most wonderful maishas we've ever said? When my father, Zatzal, Harav Mordechai Shapiro, as I mentioned, it was just his 25th yard site. When he lived in Eretz Yisrael 70 years ago, Toshin Yud Alf Yud Beis Yud Gimel, for approximately 2 years, on one of his first Shabbosos in Eretz Yisrael, he was in Bnei Brak. Our family cousin was Reb Shlaimke Berman. Reb Shlaimke Berman is a son-in-law, was a son-in-law of the Stipler. The Stipler and the Chazon Ish were brothers-in-law. That means Reb Shlaimke Berman was a nephew by marriage of the Chazon Ish. On the first Shabbos that my father was in Bnei Brak, sitting at the table in the home of the Chazon Ish, of course at the head of the table was the Chazon Ish. On one side was my father, and on the other side was his cousin, the nephew of the Chazon Ish, Reb Shlaimke Berman. Imagine, imagine. And here it was in the middle of a conversation, and at one point the Chazon Ish turned to his nephew, Reb Shlaimke Berman, and inquired what time it was. Now my father, Zatzal, did not understand why the Chazon Ish would ask that to Reb Shlaimke Berman. The Chazon Ish did not use the Erev in Bnei Brak, and by extension, neither would his nephew, Reb Shlaimke Berman. So if his nephew was not using the Erev, then he wouldn't be wearing a wristwatch. So why did he ask his nephew for the time? My father looked down at his own hand, his own wrist, and saw that he was wearing a watch. And then he remembered that in America they told him about the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish had the most beautiful, beautiful way of giving Musar. That if the Chazon Ish wanted to say something to one person, he would say it to the other person so that the first person would pick up, realizing the Chazon Ish meant him, but he would do it in that indirect way. Is that not mamish what we said? Vayoymer? And not Vayomer Lehem. So my father, Zatzal, remembered that that's what he was told, the way that the Chazon Ish would give Musar. By saying something to one, and the first was to pick up, that really the Chazon Ish meant that first person. My father looked down at his own hand, and he saw that he was wearing a wristwatch, and the Chazon Ish meant he shouldn't be. My father quickly chapped. He took off his watch, and he handed it to the Chazon Ish, at which point the Chazon Ish broke out into a huge smile, and he said to my father, "Gut, gut, Reb Moitzcha. Itzter vosechob ayer emashken. Now that I have your watch, something that belongs to you, I know you're going to visit me again. You have to come back and visit me again because you have to come and pick up your watch." I have the cassette tape where my father, Zatzal, says that story, and then my father starts to get emotional and he cries and he says, "That was my first visit to the Chazon Ish. But that way of the Chazon Ish speaking, with that love, it's mamish the Vayomer, not the Vayomer Lehem. Normally we always want the Vayomer Lehem, but in the Musar it's Vayomer, not Vayomer Lehem." That way of speaking led, said my father Zatzal, to more than 100 additional private visits with him and the Chazon Ish. Because of the way the Chazon Ish said to my father, "I know you're going to come back and visit me again. You have to pick up your watch." So maybe that's a pshat in these psukim, that when it comes to the Musar, it's the Vayomer and not the Vayomer Lehem, so that the Musar could be better received. And finally, to conclude, the pshat from the Ponavizharov. Did you ever ask yourself, Yaakov Avinu just met these people by the well. He just met these shepherds. And right after meeting them, he's giving them the Musar. Hein oid hayayim gadol ayesei osef amikna. It's not time yet. Why are you gathering the livestock? The day is still long. There's still time. Like somebody would say to their worker, why are you checking out and clocking out early? It's not yet time. They accepted those words from Yaakov Avinu. They listened to the words of Yaakov Avinu. One has to wonder why. What was it about this Musar of Yaakov Avinu that he was able to give, and it was able to be readily accepted? Why? The part of his Rav used to say the answer lies in one word, and I deliberately left out the word so we could appreciate the profundity of it now. Take a look at Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer lehem Yaakov, Achai, my brothers. When he's talking to them, he addresses these people as Achai, you're my brothers. Achai doesn't just mean you're my brothers. Achai means I care about you. Achai indeed explains the feelings of Vayomer lehem, Vayomer lehem, when it was required and when it was needed. Zokt upon a vizhirov. When you're speaking to a person and you have to give them words of Musar, for you to try to be successful, b'siyata d'shmaya, for those words to be readily accepted and for the person to be makabel and want to change, they need to know one thing from you who are giving the Musar. Achai, you're my brother. You care about me. I mean something to you. The most important word in the entire soliloquy, in the whole dialogue, was that before he gave the Musar and addressed what the issue was, before he started and opened up any conversation, he said that one word that everybody wants to hear. Achai, you're my brother. Achai, I care about you and you mean something to me. And once you have the person's attention because they know how genuine and sincere you are, then you could speak and mention what needs to be mentioned. And we should try in all of our relationships, whatever the message is that we have to give from one to the other, to be zaycha, to let the people in our lives know, Achai, you're my brother. I care about you and you mean so much to me. In that schus, we should be able to have the conversations of Vayomer lehem. We should be able, when saying things perhaps of Musar, to make sure to remember the Vayomer, the Maisa with the Chazon Ish. We should be Zaycha Be'ezras Hashem to realize, as we said earlier on, the Gedolim are Avos Arimos. It wasn't about them. It was about you. It was about the other person being brought to the front. What can I do for you? That's true greatness. It's not about I, it's about you and we and us. And of course, that which we mentioned in the beginning, to remember, every person matters. Every person counts. We should talk and believe we could be the glory and the honor for ourselves, for our mishpacha, and for all of Klal Yisrael.